everybody, welcome to your Friday, April 11th JumpCast, the only manga podcast that's not hosted by Stephen Colbert. Joining me this week are Mike Lemieux and Greg Jan.
All of those other ones are so much better because he is such a great host, you know?
Yeah, yes. I really can't be too
His work on that One Piece podcast just really blows me away. But he signed a contract and it has a non-compete, so...
What can you do?
Yeah.
Cancel JumpCast.
Maybe we'll get Ed Helms. He's like the poor man Stephen Colbert.
Yeah. He's an approximation of a tall, dark-haired man.
Yeah. He was in that movie about that thing and the other movie that's exactly like it.
And the other one that's exactly like it again.
I never saw the third one.
Oh, man.
A little more different than the first two, but still, like, they should have just left it with the one.
Man, Colbert getting Letterman's job really kills it forever, bringing him back for Professor Impossible on...
Oh, yeah, no, that's never going to happen.
I know it was a long shot before, but
no. Gonna happen.
Yeah. They might have got him for, like, an episode or something eventually, but nah, not now.
Remember when Birdman ended, they were like, for Stephen Colbert, what is he ever going to do? That kid's going to be on the street.
Yeah, I always loved that Phil ends up getting hit by a bus, and if you go and slow it down, it's a Colbert Report bus.
I actually never noticed that.
It's got an ad for the Colbert Report on the side of it.
Nice.
All right, house cleaning.
Stephen Colbert got chosen for place Letterman.
Sorry, what was that?
I said Stephen Colbert got chosen to replace Letterman.
Oh, yeah.
That should be...
In case people are not aware of that.
That should be Oba and Obata's next manga, Talk Show Wars.
Oh, man, that would be
Takumon.
Good. Talk Show, or Gamblers. Yeah, Talk Show manga.
Okay. Stealth Symphony got its first rank, third from the bottom. That was the one that I didn't think was as good for a first chapter, but I thought it improved. But meanwhile, what's it called? Illegal Rare had a center color this week, so my guess is it's going to be sticking around for a little bit. And Tokyo Wonder Boys has not yet had its first rating, but it was in last place, so I'm going to guess that's not a good sign.
They're just burying it before, like, because they've already got the numbers, right?
Yeah, like, they already have the numbers, so...
So I'm
guessing that one is dead on arrival.
For some reason, it just feels like only one of them is going to survive between Stealth Symphony and Illegal Rare. Because they're
similar in concept.
Yeah.
It's deviated a little bit, but yeah, and what's sad, not that I've read the more recent chapters of Illegal Rare, because
I haven't been
able to find them. But
I've looked at the Raws, and it doesn't look that interesting.
Yeah, like... Stealth Symphony arced upward for me, and Illegal Rare arced down. So, I guess you could say I'm a little disappointed with how it looks like it's going to be going, but yeah.
Yeah, like, where I looked in Illegal Rare, there's just, like, now there's a succubus that's helping them out. Like, it seems like it's just kind of turning into a Monster of the Week thing. And as far as I can tell, it gets resolved really quickly.
I mean, okay. That's one path to success, so...
Yeah.
And I mean, it's to be fair, it's not like Stealth Symphony is doing anything that different from the Monster of the Week thing. It's just doing little mini arcs with, like, him getting a job, and he's joined an organization, and now actually he is going up against the people who helped him at the beginning. You know,
I have that in Shonen Jump Alpha. I still have not read a single chapter of it. I should really...
It's improved.
I'm technically paying for it, so I should probably read it.
And speaking of things in Shonen Jump Alpha... not that it's called that anymore, but whatever. There is a chapter of Dragon Ball called Dragon Ball Minus in this.
Which sounds fanfictiony as hell.
So do not read
it's,
that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is fanfiction.
Okay, just a quick question. Is the Bardock Special, was that like actually a manga thing, or was that an anime-only thing that isn't canon?
It's anime-only, but canon.
Okay, because this directly contradicts that.
I'm pretty sure Toriyama went out and said, like, yeah, Bardock's the original Super Saiyan, and he went back in time.
I thought that was a different person.
That was Bardock.
But this thing is written by Akira Toriyama.
Oh. I think Toriyama confirmed that to be canon, but I wouldn't be surprised if, A, he either forgot it or doesn't care anymore.
Yeah, Toriyama has a history of just kind of not giving a shit about some stuff.
Okay. Do you want me to spoil this because it's kind of hilarious?
Go for it.
So the entire, like, predict the future thing from the Bardock Special doesn't happen. So, Frieza calls all the Saiyans back to planet Vegeta, which is why they were all there, which actually does make a little bit of sense. But apparently it takes, like, a month for all of them to get together, sort of thing. And Bardock thinks something is wrong. you know, because he doesn't trust Frieza and all that sort of stuff. So basically he goes Superman and he purposely sends Goku away. And, you know, his other son is with Vegeta and they're too far away, so they don't go back and that sort of thing. But we see Goku's mom, who is wearing, like, armor but with a skirt instead of the, like, two things on the side. It looks kind of funny. And then, like, you know, there's this entire dramatic as he's leaving the planet sort of thing, and Goku's actually in the armor, which I don't think was in the original Dragon Ball when he arrived.
No.
And then it ties it into Jacko, the Galactic Patrolman.
Yeah, I was going to say, in Jacko, he's wearing the armor as a child.
Yeah. Like, they have the, you know, and watch out for the Galactic Patrol as he goes flying off, and then there's, like, two pages with the Galactic Patrol people.
That sounds real dumb.
It really is.
You know what I've always wondered? How come it took Frieza, like, at max power 5 minutes to destroy a planet, but then when he was, like, normal power, he could blow up the same planet in, like, one hit?
Well, he missed.
Maybe it was smaller.
Did he miss?
He missed the core or something. I don't know. There's that, and then apparently Namek is supposed to be, like, this gigantic planet, which is why it takes everybody forever to fly anywhere there.
Yeah, it's huge. Big huge.
Except it has, like, one climate and, like, no variants.
Well, it's a fiction planet. You know, like when you go to a lava world or a snow world.
Yeah.
This
and
is a creepy slug world.
You have to think in terms of the, you know, like, sure, he has his planet destroyer thing, but how much energy did he put into it sort of thing? So maybe he misjudged the one time, but because he was in the middle of a fight, but the other time he was just taking them all out, so whatever.
Kind of incompetent, that Frieza.
Yeah. Remember, Vegeta was the one who was going to be able to blow up Earth, and he was nowhere near Frieza's level at the time, so...
Blowing up a planet just seems more like a parlor trick. Than an actual display of power.
Basically, you know, power levels are bullshit.
And then they just restored it anyway. So good job, Frieza. Way to be.
So, speaking of bullshit...
Bleach?
Had color pages again.
Yeah,
nothing happens.
Yeah. The color page is nice, and he looks a little creepy with those eyes, I will say.
But... Yeah. I like the color page.
Yeah.
That's my nice thing to say about this chapter.
The color page was not offensive.
So, Imagination Kid is happy to be fighting.
Yes. Super, super stoked.
I mean... Yeah, I guess that's... I don't know how to summarize the chapter without just immediately going to the hand thing.
So, yeah, they trade blows again.
Yep.
Then a big hand.
Yeah, he summons a big hand to go down on Kenpachi.
I don't know, this is kind of what we wanted. It was crazy, stupid things.
Yeah, but that was it. Like, immediately Kenpachi just cuts it.
Yep,
and
well,
then
that's
cuts
what
him.
We were expecting.
Yeah, I think
and
I even guessed the panel of him standing there with a big slash going through him spurting blood.
Yeah.
Like.
And then there was, you know, the wonderful, it's kind of like the imagining Kenpachi to be a monster thing where he was imagining himself dying. Which was, like, I don't know. I thought that was a little creative in that thing, if a little boring at the same time.
And then Kenpachi calls him out on it, and it undoes the whole thing.
For some reason.
Yeah.
And then he imagines another him, because then he can imagine harder.
Imagine two, imagine harder.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works, right?
So we get confirmation that he did create the old man lady weird thing that can turn invisible.
By imagining it. And then he becomes Sephiroth.
Because straight up summons a meteor. To imagine a meteor.
I don't see how that works.
No, see, before he was like, I want to fire... What are those called? Damn it. Wait, I know if I have two of me.
A comet?
Like, he's the day-to-day guy, and the other guy's, like, the big-picture guy. Thinking outside the box.
Also,
I needed to have another him so they could touch one another and have their Wonder Twin powers activate.
Yeah, so he calls a meteor to destroy all of Sarate.
Yep. Which, why not just do this first?
Because he needed to have another one of him.
But he didn't do that on a whim.
See, in this fight, you can just say he didn't think about it, because all his attacks are thinking about things. Just didn't occur to him.
So
and
I assume
Kenpachi is all happy that he is going to get to slice up a meteorite.
And talks to his sword.
Yes, and looks like he says a name?
Yeah, Nozarashi is the name of his sword.
Yeah.
Which I assume he's going to release next chapter. Then the chapter after that, I assume, is going to be the Imagination Guy backstory, where they show him as a baby that was mistreated because of his imagination. And that's how he joined the Quincy's. And then he dies, maybe.
There'll be a weirdly racist picture of doctors when he's a child.
I guess now he's committing to the silhouettes as, like, a thing. So it's not as racist anymore, but it was, like, really off-putting
the first time.
Yeah, when it was, who was it, Lloyd Royd?
Oh, yeah. How could you forget?
How could I have blocked it out, you mean? So yeah, nothing really happens?
No, the same thing happened that's happened for like the last four chapters of, I'm going to think of a thing, didn't work. I'm going to think of a thing, didn't work. Well, I'm going to think of another thing to be continued.
At least now, like, something has to happen next time. Like, either Kenpachi's going to cut up a meteor, or he's going to release a sword, or he's going to release a sword and cut up a meteor.
Yeah,
I think
well,
it's going to be both of those things, but I think it's going to be he cuts it in half and the two halves go to either side or something like that, and
yeah,
it's not terribly interesting looking.
Like, something is guaranteed to happen next time.
He cuts a hole in the fabric of reality that the meteor goes into.
Can't you just imagine the meteor can't be cut?
No, who can imagine that? Nobody, that's who.
I'm imagining it right now. Try and stop me.
My god. You're the strongest
you are
Quincy ever.
Powerful than the strongest Quincy.
Yeah, I'm just happy because his sword getting a name is like, hey, that's actual story progress. We're finally getting somewhere in this fight.
I think it would be hilarious if Ichigo comes up like right now. It's like, sorry, Kenpachi, whatever you were doing, I'll take care of this.
You just stand back.
He just like comes shooting through the well, because he is falling. He just comes shooting through the comet, slicing it down.
Or he's riding the comet down.
Like, what was with that weird rock? Oh well. Hey, who's this kid? I'll just kill him.
Yeah.
Because,
I think that
you
would
know,
be
being
like
up there with the Soul King or whatever has made him a heartless killer, so he'll just go ahead and kill children without batting an eye.
I mean, they're Quincy's. They're basically Nazis.
Man, remember the Soul King?
Who?
Yeah.
Is he like an R&B artist?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about Brooke, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Man, one panel of that guy and like nothing else.
He's still the final boss. So this is not. Bleach is not ending for a long time.
We have not even
seen
Bleach's final form.
But it's in the final arc.
Please stay tuned as Kubotite finishes up the final battle.
It's in the final arc in the same way that Naruto Part 2 is the final arc, I think.
But it's been going on longer than Part 1 at this point.
Yeah, that's weird to think about.
Yep.
It's been going on for longer than Part 1 for a long time.
It's been going on for longer than Part 1, for longer than it's been going on for longer than Part 1. Wait.
Yes.
Possibly. When was the time skip?
1997.
Five years ago, probably more. No, it was definitely pre-2006.
I was more looking for what chapter, but...
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, that was on my head.
Looks like it's chapter 245? No, 238.
Oh, geez, and this is 672.
Yep.
That's almost easy math.
So should we just move on to Naruto now?
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
This was a great
fuck
chapter.
Bleach.
Yeah. So Guy is totally about to die. Nothing's going to save him ever. Like, it's impossible.
Totally
literally
that,
impossible.
Totally
he
that thing that I said was...
sacrifice.
That thing that I said was going to happen when he went Super Saiyan is totally not going to happen in this chapter. There's no chance.
Yep. So, first of all, parallels. Like, literal parallel page.
I don't see them.
It's very, very subtle.
I'm not sure I get it.
No, these are totally different. I mean, one has Naruto and the other has Sasuke. They're completely different.
And one has a, like, son and the other one has
a mom. Poor Obito. His parallel is Kabuto.
Well, I mean, they both were inside the other one.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like Kishimoto has just completely given up on any degree of subtlety with this.
So is this confirming that Sakura is going to end up with Naruto and Karin's going to end up with Sasuke then?
Well, no. She can't end up with Naruto because it would be...
creepy. They're related. Incest.
Yeah.
They're not related.
And who else is there?
About Hinata
it's like
right
never
now?
Come up.
There's like, those are the only two girls. There's nobody else.
Well, we don't know who Hinata's parallel is yet.
She has no parallel.
Probably Jugo.
Jugo just waving across the aisle.
I'm telling you guys, you should just give in to this parallel fest. It's so much better.
But, like, I remember when, like, it was kind of subtle. And that was pretty cool, remember?
The Kool-Aid tastes really good. You should...
do you remember that thing where, like, Sasuke came to Konoha,
it is
like...
poisoned.
He came to Konoha at night, and it, like, paralleled when Naruto first came back?
Yeah, and that was really cool.
Yeah, and now they're just, like... he's basically, like, stabbing a spear into that subtlety.
Well, it's ending, so...
Yeah.
It's ending or something.
Has to, you know, catch up all of those new readers who are kids who haven't been following for the entire time.
Also, Kabuto kneeling down with his snake tail coming out looks like he's hanging brain.
Hey, man, just letting it flap around. Anything goes at Orochimaru's place. Anything goes.
It was just an eternal sleep for like 10 minutes.
So
I can do what I want.
So basically...
So Guy has another attack.
Well, we should say that Naruto and Sasuke got up. And
yeah.
they have marks on their hands.
And we don't see their faces. That part's important.
Oh,
so
I see what you're getting at. Yes, I suppose that is important.
So it switches back to Guy, who is currently powering up all the way and about on his last attack.
Or something that's not the Night Elephant.
Yeah, like, which is his ultimate attack, so we think.
It seems lead.
He gets a tragic-ish flashback.
Eh. And we see Kakashi's dad's face, which, is this the first time we saw it? I don't think we saw it.
Yeah, I think that he wore a mask before too. So we've seen Kakashi's dad face, but not Kakashi.
Did he wear a mask when Kakashi died?
I don't know.
He died and he had that conversation with his father?
Yeah.
I could look it up, but he basically looks exactly like Kakashi, so I'm guessing
yeah.
It's as close as we're going to get to seeing under Kakashi's.
Yeah, this is Kishimoto's top of
mind. In the anime, he did not have on a mask in the flash. It went in. Yeah.
The limbo conversation?
Yeah.
Well, still.
So Kakashi's father says,
He had much different hair, though. Here, it's just, like, exactly Kakashi's hairstyle, too.
He was the White Wolf of Konoha, right?
White Fang,
that was his thing? White Fang, yeah. So he and Kakashi see Guy and his father outside the academy. They're like, oh, my kid's starting, too.
Yeah.
So you should get along.
Kakashi's dad's being the nice parent and like, oh, I found you a friend. You know,
but he was being overly presumptive because Guy did not get in.
He flunked.
And Kakashi's kind of like being not quite prickish, but brusque about it.
I think we can call it prickish.
He's being, let's say, Sasuke-ish as a child. Imran's heart just stopped.
He's like, holy crap, there's a whole other dimension I hadn't been thinking about.
I knew the Kakashi-Sasuke parallel, and that part really pissed me off in the Chunin exams.
So yeah, Kakashi's being a prick and just trying to blow off Guy.
Yeah, because if he flunked the entrance exam, then what use is he to Kakashi?
So Guy thanks him for cheering him on, which makes his dad smile.
And Kakashi's dad points out that you probably don't want to dismiss him because he'd make a pretty good rival for you.
He's going to be stronger than you soon enough.
He is going to, like, he notices the scuff marks on Guy's hands and feet and sees he is, you know, training himself very hard.
And there's a decent chance he was waitlisted, so he might still get in.
Yeah. Because they have waitlisting at
apparently
elementary school.
So this is the origin of the Guy-Kakashi rivalry.
So then we cut back to Guy just exploding with monstrous chakra.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Like, sending rocks flying.
It is actually physically manifesting in a, like,
dragon.
Demonic creature.
And Madara can't think of any taijutsu user he's ever fought that's this powerful.
Yeah, I saw in one of the translations, I think he says, like, I acknowledge you, which seems like... I'm not sure if that's dickish or kind of nice to say,
that,
like...
That seems like a Naruto thing to say, because that's what the entire thing was about, was him trying to be acknowledged, right?
Yeah. So Madara at least considers him like an equal at this point. Yeah.
Then we find out Guy is the reincarnation of an ancient sage. So it didn't really matter. He like all that trying was meant nothing.
Yeah, the sage had a
illegitimate
rival.
Son.
Yeah.
That nobody talks about because he couldn't
named man.
Well, the sage does have his brother, right? So, actually, I'm guessing that the Sage of Six Paths' brother, or whatever it is the one that went on to make the Hyuga clan, which is how those eyes fit into the whole thing.
Maybe. That's where the other split is. So
he's going to end up being the real final boss.
So Guy's final attack is called the Night Guy, which is a pretty good pun.
Yeah.
And his skin has, like, turned black and is cracking.
And he makes contact with Madara's ribs.
Looks like Asherah from Asherah's Wrath, actually.
And there's like a really Mortal Kombat style X-ray of his like ribs breaking and his leg trying to take our guy's leg kicking him actually breaking apart.
Like three places.
Yeah.
I could just hear the Mortal Kombat like sound effect.
Yeah.
It's painful.
The attack explodes the area around them and knocks everyone back.
Yeah. Really cool imagery of just, like, the dragon overtaking Madara as they slam into the tree.
Yeah. So...
And Guy is pretty much spent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love the giant footprint on Madara's chest.
Does he have a footprint?
Yeah. Look at him when he's, like, somewhat downed.
Oh.
I like how Madara's kind of, like, wincing in pain and going, like, laughing because he thought that that was amazing.
But he did not die.
Guy just barely missed his heart, but took off like most of the left side of his body.
Yeah.
So Madara says that as, you know, a gesture for giving him that amazing fight, he'll kill him himself.
Well,
as opposed to just letting him burn out.
Yeah.
He doesn't really. Yeah. Guy like literally starts to dissolve.
And Naruto comes in and kicks Madara's flying ball away.
And he's kind of like, someone kicked it? What?
And then he touches Guy's chakra point with his hand that has the circle on it.
And gives him life chakra. Because Naruto can do that now.
Yep.
So does that mean that the moon kills people?
Sure.
Yeah, why not?
So Sasuke now has, like, you know, he just touches people and they die.
He's the human Death Note.
Sounds good to me.
Madara figures out immediately that this is Obito's fault.
So now Naruto comes in, he has the sage frog eyes.
Well, crossed with QB eyes.
Yeah.
I think he did have the cross eyes once before.
Yeah, he's done that. I think that this is the third time we've seen that.
But he seems to just, like, he's not in sage mode and he's not in QB mode.
He's just super powerful.
He has it naturally.
So is this like the, what, Super Saiyan... Wasn't there like
Six?
Some... Yeah, like the new one, like the Super Saiyan 5, where like it went like back down to looking normal, you know, like...
With like red hair or something?
They condense themselves, yeah.
Stopped paying attention after 3. All I know is that there's like something where they become golden-haired monkeys.
It's the new one. It's the one
for
the...
Oh, like, okay, movie. I never watched GT. Yeah.
Not GT, it's the Anubis movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
GT was
that,
Super Saiyan 4 was, like all furry...
Like, they became golden apes and then, like, condensed it down into, like, some sort of, like, Bishonen J-Rock kind of look.
Okay.
With, like, long black hair and fur
like
vests.
Makeup, like, red, like, eyeliner, basically.
Yeah, they look fabulous.
Okay.
So anyway, Naruto is super powerful now.
He's God, basically.
Except, you know, Sasuke is more, because, you know,
he's the other God, parallels.
I'm guessing Sasuke is going to go fight the fake Hashirama.
Maybe. Take him out
first. It seems like that might be a boring fight for him, but I think he's going to show up here and they're going to fight together.
It could be a good power establishment, though, if, like, the, you know, because the Kages are fighting that guy right now, if Sasuke just steps in and just...
Wow. They have to fight in parallel. I'm not sure you understand this. Like, Naruto has to fight here.
Against the same guy.
No, there's going to be a scene where, like, Naruto's kicking him in one panel, and the opposite panel...
Like
Sasuke kicking someone else.
Page spread.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure, like, when Guy first transformed, I, like, pulled whether we thought he was going to survive or if Naruto was going to show up and save him. And all of us guessed, like, nope, Guy's going to die.
I mean, he should. I don't like the
nobody
bring
dies.
Them back to life thing. Yeah.
I agree. I feel like it's cheap.
Especially when he's, like, dissolving. Like, I think it would have been better if, like...
Live as this puddle from now on.
Well, no, like, if Naruto had left him to just, like, die his hero's death that he wanted. You know, he's... Look at him! His skin is charred and falling off. Like, he's had a foot dissolve. He's not in super great shape.
It just... Like, you can count the number of actual deaths in Naruto... Like, actual sacrifices in Naruto on one hand.
Asuma, Jiraiya, Nagato, Neji, Haku, Zabuza?
I'm not going to count Haku and Zabuza.
Okay, they're villains, technically. I guess.
Like, they didn't really... Haku sacrificed himself for Zabuza, and Zabuza just decided to die.
Yeah, and they were villains at the time. They never really had much of a redemption, like Nagato did. So that's, what, four? And if we want to start counting, like, the fourth Hokage and the third Hokage and...
I would count the third.
Yeah, so that's five. That's the one hand, then.
And they came back.
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine now. They're pretty okay for having died, so...
Wait, who were the people that you listed?
Asuma, Jiraiya, Nagato, Neji were the other ones.
Yeah.
I don't know that Nagato, kinda...
He had his redemption. Naruto considers him, like, on the same level of Jiraiya whenever he's mourning the people that he's lost.
Yeah. To be fair, I don't know why we're surprised. I mean, we had Tsunade come back after being cut in half, so...
Yeah. So, I don't think we're going to get any major deaths except for, like, Obito for the rest of this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, part of it is just it lowers the stakes a bit.
It does. It feels too safe. Like, it's kind of the problem The Walking Dead has now. You know, where it's like everyone feels like they have plot armor. They like
it's reminding me of Bleach.
Yeah.
Good guys don't die.
Yeah. I mean, in One Piece, they set a precedent early on that like hardly anyone dies.
But they still manage to keep the tension. It's just they only do it like, you know, at the very zenith of the arc. The rest of the time it's kind of like, eh.
That reminds me. Remind me to talk about something with One Piece.
All right, we'll talk about
something
with One Piece.
Okay, thank you. God damn it, that is annoying. I do that.
It's just like,
I hate it.
This would be so much more thrilling, I guess. And it's not that I dislike Guy. I like Guy a lot, but if the team were dwindling down Naruto got there.
I don't know. It's the thing of like, I can appreciate a character dying, like their arc finishing, their story being done, and them being sent off.
It's like, how much more, or how much less interesting would like the Saiyan Saga have been if like Piccolo ran to block Gohan's hit and was fine?
Yeah.
Like, Nappa didn't kill him, and everyone
was standing off to the side for the rest of the fight.
Like, if
Yamcha was taking a nap, Tien was
gone. Yamcha would have, there's no universe where Yamcha is not just immediately killed.
My main thing is that, you know, one of the themes of this entire arc/series is, you know, passing on to the next generation, and...
Well, I mean, Guy is missing a leg now, so he's not going to be taijutsuing.
It's broken.
No, like, he started dissolving.
It'll grow back, because Naruto has magic sun powers.
Sure.
Yeah.
It was still a great fight. Like,
it was.
Last minute save, you know, ignored.
It would be great to see animated.
That was everything I wanted from, like, Guy's finale.
Yeah, this is seriously, like, something that I will seek out the anime when it gets that far, just to watch this.
I saw a gif of, like, Guy and Lee fighting, Kyuubi Naruto, which I don't remember happening in the manga.
I'm gonna guess that's filler?
Yeah, but it was like super well animated and really awesome looking.
Hmm.
So, I don't know what it is about Lee and Guy, but they seem to get the anime budgets for their
fights. Well, I mean, taijutsu, that's always more entertaining to watch.
Yeah,
like, I mean, oh, I hypnotized you.
Yeah, I guess little blue balls flying at each other with explosions is a lot cheaper than...
I bet animators fucking love Shikamaru.
I'm gonna stand still, and my power is to make you stand still too.
This cost us nothing.
Also, my color gets you down to just a duotone.
I just searched for it on Wiki, and apparently this is a clone of Four Tails Naruto somehow.
Sure.
I hope they make Mecha Naruto canon.
Naruto dies, and then Mecha Naruto gets made Hokage. Bring me ramen.
New edict, bolts for everybody.
But then Mecha Sasuke will revolt. Mecha Sasuke is just like a toaster with a Sharingan drawn on it.
And everyone loves it.
Ah.
Alright.
So next week, what do you think? Do we cut away from Naruto?
No, I think they do more, like, they show Naruto and Sasuke in parallel.
I'm going to guess parallels.
You're yeah. Gonna... I mean, it's the
like
safest bet of all.
Guess.
I'm going to guess we go, like, all Sasuke next week. Nothing but Sasuke. Do you think he has different eyes? Do you think he has, like, the Rinnegan or something?
I think he is going to have Sage Eyes.
I bet he'll have
Sage Snake Eyes.
Wait,
he'll have Sage Snake Eyes combined with his Sharingan.
Didn't Indra have, like, a Sharingan that had, like, six dots in it or something? He had, like, a different Sharingan. I wonder if he's going to have that one.
I wonder if that freaked the Sage of Six Paths out. Like, hey, what's that? You're probably evil.
Yeah. Oh, look at my babies. Oh, God. This one has red eyes and black hair, and it's
no,
already
no, your brother. Your brother's the one.
It's
oh, God. Why did I, you know, give this guy Indra's power?
You're kind of
why are all the priests crying now that my son is born?
Just because he has red and black eyes.
And
that...
why is that one dead over there?
We should call him Indra. I was going to name him Damien, but...
All right. So, on Shokugeki?
Yep.
Yes.
No Soma food wars.
Yep.
Food fight.
Where,
Soma has made a Nori bento, and
yep.
Everybody thinks that he lost because of this.
Because, as we've established, Nori bentos are, like, bottom-rung bentos. Cheap.
And clearly Soma is untalented, and everyone should think the least of him.
Because
and
if you're
Alice,
making a Nori... Go ahead.
I was going to say, Alice has not even heard of a Nori bento. She doesn't know what it is.
That's... So Soma's, like, slams a bento thermos.
Like,
so basically, like, the first, like, five pages of this manga read, like, I'm Billy Mitchell, and let me show you this bento box.
Well, it's an advanced bento. It's got soup and rice inside dishes, all keeping each other warm.
And that's
okay,
not all. If you order right now,
exterior.
You'll get this free set of chopsticks.
Separate shipping and handling charges apply. $5.95.
That's a sham wow.
Separate shipping and handling charges also apply.
But wait, there's more.
Separate shipping and handling charges. So, the first part of this chapter is basically just Alice and Soma being, like, super candid with each other about everything.
Yeah, and, like, you know, she's thinking she has absolutely nothing to worry about, and he's thinking, like, yeah, I got this in the bag. So they're actually being quite friendly with one another.
I'm shipping them, because they're cute together.
Yeah, they're a fun pair.
Yeah. Even though she's not evil, even, like, despite them trying to make her seem like it.
No, she's totally evil.
Ikumi says that
you'll
she's
see
not...
once she loses, then she'll, like, show up in the middle of the night and try and slit his throat.
Ikumi points out that she's not being friendly. She actually just doesn't consider Soma a threat. She's assumed that she's already won. So that's why she's so chipper.
Yeah.
So
anyway, they pull out the side dishes first.
And it's all very basic stuff.
Yeah.
But it tastes really good.
Basically fried fish and some veggies, it looks like.
And the old guy, old judge, is, like, super into it.
I mean, for just being fried cod, like, he's freaking out.
Yeah.
It takes him to a Disney movie.
It's got birds and, like, one of the gayest outfits I've ever seen in manga.
Like, a weird slitted skirt thing.
Yeah.
And the soup is bacon and onion miso soup, which sounds kind of tasty.
Well, the thing about the fish and chips is that there's no chips, but fried fish, is that the crust is actually dried tuna. It's not what it normally is. So it accentuates the flavor of the cod.
That also sounds really good.
Yeah, it does. So yeah, and then bacon, onion, and miso soup, which sounds good.
And so the other guys join him in that field dancing around.
They're all wearing the same outfits.
Except for the main judge.
Yeah, the grandpa. So Soma explains that normally if he'd make this for somebody, he would just put the raw ingredients in the box and it would cook itself. But since they needed to eat it right now, he just cooked it for them.
And that seems to be what, I don't know, caught Alice's attention right there.
Yeah.
She thinks it's neat and she wants some.
Well, she also thinks he's an expert on bento. But that his food is too normal and has no surprises like her sushi.
So then Soma flashes back to actually a really cute story.
Yeah.
That he had a regular customer that was an old lady, and he basically treated her as his grandmother.
Because there's just an aside from his father saying he never knew his real grandmother. Like, yeah. I don't know if she's dead or what.
And but there's gonna that be like is a... something that if you have regulars to a, especially to a family restaurant sort of thing, you get to know them.
Yeah, especially like a 6-year-old would probably become pretty attached to everybody that comes in regularly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, heck, at a chain place that I worked at one point when I was heading back to college, there was, you know, this regular couple that, you know, had special needs and that sort of thing, but they actually brought a gift before I left left back to college. It was it was nice. It was interesting. Man.
So eventually the old lady stops coming in, and I guess it's her husband or her son explains that her hips and her legs are hurting a lot, so she can't really walk to the store anymore.
They establish it. The restaurant is a very long way from her house.
Like, yeah.
It's a big trek for her.
So Soma considers this, and then her doorbell starts ringing. And it's Soma on the other side with a bento for her.
Yeah.
And he's making excuses like, oh, I was on my way. I wasn't doing anything at work. It's fine.
And then
like,
he gets a call from his dad, who is yelling at him for slacking off while he's on break.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that, you know, since it's a younger him, that is a giant flip phone.
I mean, also Japan. They've had giant flip phones for a while.
Yeah, well, no, I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, they still use
them. Style cellular phone.
Yeah, it's not an iPhone is what you mean.
Yeah.
So she reads the note, which is saying it was really, or I was free at the restaurant, so eat this and get better. And then also, like, make sure you take the nori off before eating the rice and look at it.
And she eats the fish and then takes off the nori, and there's a very nice picture of her and Soma.
Like, in the rice.
Yeah, like soy sauce or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just drawn in it.
I thought that was a really nice scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and Soma learns a thing about like, baking with love.
Yeah.
And how about that? It's about the time that they're, you know, getting to the rice.
Yeah, and wondering how he prepared the nori, because that's going to decide it all.
And then everyone's bowls light up.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Deliciousness.
Desmond's just going to the bathroom. That's all it is.
Yep.
And, you know, it cuts back to Soma, you know, doing his own evil look at Alice.
Yeah.
And continuing their conversation where, you know, he was saying, like, man, I want to try your dish sort of thing. And Alice was saying, yeah, that's fine. But now he's also saying that, you know, maybe she should have some of his, too.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Soma's going to win.
Yeah, definitely.
Totally.
And he even kind of hinted at what we've been saying, like, right before the flashback, he asks Alice if her, like, while her dish may be good, is it an amazing bento? And right. She's confused by this.
She doesn't understand the true meaning of bento.
Yeah.
It has to be, like, made with love and made in a way that they can eat.
I still don't think it's going to be love. I think it's going to be practicality.
Or like, something like that. I mean, the flashback kind of makes it seem like it's love.
It does, but, I mean, it's going to be funny if it's, like, Soma's picture in all of their...
The true meaning of bento is narcissism.
I put in pictures of all your dead wives. I was up all night looking up pictures. And killing some of them just to create...
nostalgia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this fight in particular doesn't interest me that much. Because
the fight doesn't, but I like Alice.
Yeah.
So
we knew he wasn't going to lose in the first round.
Right.
So the next one with Soma will be more interesting.
It's probably a good idea to like put Alice in the first round because I'm at least enjoying her being in it.
Yeah.
Because she's the most what's the word? The nicest villain, I guess.
The least villainy villain.
Yeah.
She.
I don't know. Those evil looks.
But the fairy eyes, I think they cancel that out.
So she's totally becoming another one of his groupies after this, right?
I think I have a feeling she's going to be, like, interested in him from, like, a science point of view. Because, you know, that's the thing.
I think it'd be funny if, like, she takes him as his her rival, but her attendant assumes it's a crush.
Oh, yeah, her attendant's still in this, so he's probably going to be the one taking revenge for Alice at some point.
Yeah.
Because Soma's got to fight the Indian guy, right?
Yes.
That's like his chief rival right now.
Well, there's Indonesian guy and there's...
Well, actually, I don't know about the because the subject isn't Curry, I don't necessarily know if they'll do that.
Yeah, they did kind of screw that guy over on that one.
Maybe that guy will get crushed by the next person that Soma fights.
The mysterious guy?
As a power establishment. Yeah, I think Soma's going to fight Alice's attendant and mysterious tall guy for his next two fights.
I'm guessing Italian guy goes up against Arena's attendant.
Yeah, and then he's the power establishment for Arena's sidekick.
Yeah.
And Indonesian guy's the power establishment for tall guy. And then Megumi's just fucking off somewhere, I don't know. Shoots the first round.
Yeah.
I think it would be kind of interesting to have Soma versus Megumi.
That would be pretty good. Like,
I feel like it's a little too early to have the Krillin versus Goku thing.
Yeah. Give it a little while before they're facing off. And
Griffin, my view of this is skewed, because like, it is 60 chapters in, but I started reading it like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, this next chapter, he's going to win. Like,
yes.
I'm going to guess like within the first couple pages, they're going to declare the winner and then move on to the next match.
So now the question is, will the grandfather take off his robe and flex for
I'm going to guess
Soma as well?
His thing is, because he only took off his shirt for Alice, I'm going to guess he's going to get like down to his underwear for Soma.
It's like a muscle man flex.
Yeah, and he's going to be wearing like the, you know, rope underwear stuff under there.
All right, then.
Yep.
Like, good chapter. I really enjoyed it. Like, the flashback was really sweet, and I love Alice and Soma's interactions.
Yeah. Totally shipping them.
Okay, now let's talk about an amazing One Piece chapter again.
Yes, amazing.
So what would you guys say if I mentioned Usopp was God?
Has a brain freeze while eating with his giant penguin. That is what makes this chapter amazing.
Yep. From the pen name, I Love One Piece.
Hiroshima Prefecture.
I'm on to you, Oda. Don't get up pen names.
From Eiichiro Moda.
So last week, Sabo, or quote-unquote Lucy.
I don't know who Sabo is. What are you talking about?
Destroyed the stage and made, like, one small pillar for him.
Yeah. That's all that's left.
Because he's the only one who's important.
So we see everyone starts panicking. Jesus starts getting crushed by rocks. Rachel starts, like, straddling Bartolomeo. Or Rebecca, not Rachel.
Just, like, you know, choking him and...
Yeah. And then Diamante's just impressed.
Well, his strength is being sapped.
In water.
Because he's a devil root user.
Oh, okay. I didn't even notice that he was in the water.
Yeah, that's the one thing that's interesting. So I'm guessing that Bartolomeo is just able to make a barrier between himself and the water, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, that's... I didn't even consider that.
He's the real Jesus.
So Sabo very quickly jumps up, grabs the fighting fish, rips open the casket, and grabs the fire fruit. All pretty quickly.
Yep. And you know, people are shouting out, you weren't supposed to actually win it.
Yeah. They indicate that like the whole thing was just a trap, that no one was actually going to win that thing.
It was rigged.
And so he, you know, he's like saying, nobody's left in the ring, so that means I win, right?
So now he has the Marimara no Mi.
And then he takes a bite, which fucking shocked me for being just this tiny panel in the middle of a page.
Then he grabs Rebecca and gets the hell out of there, and like his Lucy stuff falls off.
Yeah.
So which how would it have been if it wasn't actually the Marimara no Mi?
Just a random, like a fake wax fruit.
That or like a different devil fruit or something like that.
We saw this panel like earlier in the week.
Saturday.
Yeah, and we were like, this has to be fake. Cause
and it was super clean. It looked like...
It looked like someone scanned it, which doesn't happen in Japan.
So you were saying, Greg, that they like are giving out previews if you like take pictures of the cover or something like that?
But it's only the covers of the chapter. So like the thing for this week would have been the Kuzan thing.
Are you sure? Like, are you sure they're not
like
giving out teaser
I
panels?
Think so.
We're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but in this week's Nisekoi, there was a thing about we'll send you an upcoming preview panel.
Okay.
Oh,
so
I didn't even notice that. Maybe that's the preview panel. Cause
yeah.
The thing I was saying is like, it's not going to be someone that bought it because they're not going to take a picture of him losing his helmet and not showing his face. They're just going to take a picture of the page where it shows his face. That's what the early people always do.
And it would. What they did is they made a preview panel that's like, it's a super good tease.
Yeah.
Because it shows you what's going to happen but doesn't show you the details.
So, a victor is declared as the stadium finishes just crumbling.
And Sabo Batman's out of there.
Yep. And then his arm catches fire.
But it's not hot, because he has the double fruit power.
And so he borrows one of Ace's attacks and blows up the floor of the arena.
With a giant fire fist.
And then it switches to, what was his name?
Treble.
Treble. And he's now kind of pissed.
Where it's showing the floor collapsing in.
Yeah, we see the diagram of the of what we knew of them being stacked on top of each other, but it's starting to collapse down.
Yeah. Treble is pretty pissed that Usopp has knocked out Sugar, and so he's not letting the dwarves take him out of there.
Yeah, I guess I kind of forgot that Treble was sort of right there next to Usopp.
Yeah, he had not been incapacitated at all. And Robin's blocking his attacks as best she can, but... Yeah,
which isn't super great, but she's putting in some effort.
Hey, and all of a sudden, like, holding him off at the moment.
A giant leg appears next to her, and somebody picks up Uzaland.
Yeah, it's
and, you know, you almost died for us. You saved our lives.
Yeah, a giant
that
hit
them
away.
Up for all of the other rescued pirates, warriors, everybody else to see.
And he's holding him up in a very godlike position, I guess.
In a cross, basically.
Yeah. And Usopp's still, like, barely conscious.
And declares him Captain Usopp.
As the floor crumbles and a single ray of light beams down on him. And, like, all the other people from the tournament start shedding tears as they look on upon this glorious...
Even Cavendish.
Yeah. Which is the best part. Like, Cavendish isn't as stupid as all these other guys, but he's... Still...
Yes, he is.
Yeah, okay.
Being a toy can change a man. What do you do?
And,
so Usopp manages to eke out, I will lead you.
Well, no. What did it? This is actually something weirdly enough that in the early, usually not great translation was done better, is that he is trying to say a statement that is basically what he's thinking in that bubble, but only certain words come out.
He was trying to say, put me down, but it's so garbled that it sounds like, I will lead you.
Yeah. Like, so, it's a Japanese word pun thing, but yet, like, he was saying, I said, will you let me down? This is annoying. My face is bleeding so much, you asshole, or something like that. And the only words which are audible are, I will lead you.
Ah.
So
Usopp just gives in and gives him a command to save his little friends.
Yeah, he's just like, why not go stop that guy behind me? Meanwhile,
so he basically outbuggies Buggy.
Yeah.
So this is the most amazing thing. Like, and this is continuing on the, you know, all of Usopp's lies come true.
So Jesus and Diamante are fine. They come out of the rubble in time to see Usopp's new religious army running right at them.
And they Jesus figures out that, like, that can't have been Straw Hat because he just ate the Marimara no Mi.
Yeah.
And no one can have two devil fruits.
They got tricked. They got played.
So Sabo, Bartolomeo meets out Rebecca and Sabo outside. Who we've now confirmed is 100% Sabo.
As we turn the page and see his face, and he's not wearing an eye patch.
Like Luffy, but with Ace's hair, but blonde.
Kind of.
Has
a
big eye scar.
Yeah. So no eye patch.
Yeah, I thought for sure he was going to be the person with an eye patch, but. I guess that's still on the horizon.
Yep. And we confirmed the Fishman guy was a revolutionary, and Koala is also there.
A hack and Koala.
But she doesn't get her little thing.
She already got one. Yeah. Hack only gets one because it's new. It says Revolutionary Army Soldier instead of what it said before.
And we find out that, and this one says Chief of Staff, but the other translation I read was basically Second in Command or something like that, so...
Yeah.
He's way up there in the Revolutionary Army hierarchy.
I think the manga stream one is trying to be a little too cute with how they're doing the translations and putting a little too much flourish on stuff and losing the meaning.
So they explain they're here.
The other fun thing is that it shows he is supporting Luffy to be the Pirate King. He does not have that dream for himself anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he explains that they are there to. They're looking at illegal weapons that keep coming out of Dressrosa. But they couldn't figure out where they're coming from.
Yeah. Well, and now they know.
Yeah.
Yes, we see Koala. People to infiltrate, and they've been turned into toys and stuff like that.
Koala gives Sabo his hat, so he's basically dressed exactly like he was when he was a kid. Just taller.
Also, everyone needs a hat.
Yeah. He's Top Hat. He met it from Top Hat Shanks when he was a kid.
The most theatrical Shanks. So they didn't find out exactly where the weapons are coming from, and they're kind of disappointed because if they knew that, they could show Dragon. But the irony of this is supposed to be that Sabo made a hole where they're coming from and didn't actually go check it.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll find it eventually.
So then it cuts back to the Royal Palace, where Krios is just chomping up everybody. And then Buffalo starts yelling at him. And Krios, I think, breaks his neck.
Yeah, his head's facing the wrong way in that battle.
Really just takes him down.
Yeah. And Baby Five is yelling for a law. Or Buffalo, rather. Sorry.
Yeah.
And law. And is,
Oh, wait, no, that's Luffy that's yelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's sort of, like, helpless to do anything.
Yeah.
And Law is, you know, yelling at Luffy, like, what are you doing?
Our alliance is over. We're enemies again.
Yeah. And Luffy just ignoring him. As Krios saves King Riku.
Yeah.
So just chops through those chains, but, you know, Luffy's having trouble taking off the Seastone handcuffs because he can't touch the handcuffs.
Yeah.
The funny part of that is Law is saying, like, you know, don't save me, we're enemies now. If you save me, I'll eventually kill you. And then Luffy's basically saying, shut up, stop talking, you're moving too much, I need to unlock these. And then Violet is also not paying attention and telling Luffy to be careful.
Yeah. Then all of a sudden, Pika appears. Yeah.
Who called that? What, one of you guys did.
I think, well, he said something about, like, making a fake body for Doflamingo, which,
yeah,
I'm not,
like,
sure exactly
that
that's what happened.
No, but
like
we,
that, but yeah.
I think someone thought Pika was going to show up here.
Yeah. So, Doflamingo is still alive,
and
but his
head,
is, head talking.
Is talking.
Yeah.
And he says, you've gone so far as to make me use Birdcage. And Law seems freaked out. Yeah. So, Birdcage, I'm guessing, is a sort of fake body thing?
Maybe. I'm still wondering if that is not Doflamingo. You know, Doflamingo is somewhere else controlling that with strings. What are the odds it's just a total Sasori situation and there's just a kid inside?
Or they could just be, like, total Phantom Menace and, like, Doflamingo's somebody else completely.
Yeah.
I could see that, yeah. And then, of course, the true tragedy of this chapter is no One Piece next week.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep. It's taking
One
a week
off.
Off
next week, and then it has the lead color for the next issue, which is the double issue.
Before Golden Week.
Golden Week is the week after that.
Yeah.
Of course he takes. Like, I guess I can't be too mad because it's been a lot of good chapters in a row.
These two.
Yeah.
You knew it was coming. We were so thankful it wasn't last week, but
we were on borrowed time.
Yeah. So basically, in the next month, we're going to get One Piece chapter.
So I hope Sabo, like, does cool things with the power. Like, he still uses his pipe, but shoots fire out of it.
I hope Sabo's cool.
Yeah.
I really think that, for the most part, it's basically going to be that Sabo is the new ace. He's just kind of there.
That kind of put a little rain on my Sabo parade of it's just like...
Yeah.
It's like, he's just ace 2.0. He's also the second in command, just another faction. Like, if you replace Dragon with Whitebeard, he's exactly the same as Ace.
Yeah, pretty much. Which is unfortunate.
It's still fine, but, like, I don't know, something about just how it's like, oh, so he's, this is how Ace survives, is he just becomes another character.
Am I incorrect?
Another character that didn't exist until after Ace died, don't forget.
Was Dragon Luffy's father, or am I making that up? Okay.
Yeah, Dragon is Luffy's dad. Monkey D. Dragon.
Dude,
son.
Dragon knows that, right?
Luffy knows that, I think. Doesn't he? I'm pretty sure Luffy
he
knows
does now. Yes, he is aware of that fact.
Okay, that would explain why Sabo supports him as, or I mean, another reason Sabo supports him as King of the Pirates.
But I don't really think that that is the important thing.
I mean,
it's not the motivating factor.
It is a motivating factor. I don't think it's necessarily the only one, because he is his childhood friend. Anyway, basically, Usopp is God, and that's the takeaway you should take from this chapter.
Yeah, that's the best thing, that now he has a religion.
Yeah. Though, at the same time, I'm like, This is kind of exactly what they did with Buggy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that in this case, it's Usopp, you know, actually did all of those things, whereas, you know,
I mean, it's
just
a,
straight up lying.
It's a distinction, but not that much of a difference, because yeah. Usopp did it accidentally. He Jar Jarred his way into it.
I don't mind the parallels, just the whole scene was so funny of him being held up and the light coming down on him and everyone crying.
And I'm of course, it's been at done some before. Point, we are going to have Usopp versus Buggy.
I hope these guys like stop being pirates and just start the Church of Usaland. Have you heard the good news? The good nose?
Oh, jeez.
All right, we're moving on to Assassin's Classroom.
Sure. Yeah. Also a good chapter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we left it last week, Koro-sensei was cornered by Itona.
And I don't remember which one of you called it, but you were correct, is that those are basically like gloves of anti-sensei material.
Yeah, I said that. I assume so, because they're the same color that anti-sensei material is always... They're the same tone that they always use for it.
Also, we did get an answer on how the thing looked like Koro-sensei last... The panty thing looked like Koro-sensei last time.
Yeah, Shiro explains the plan. This government worker only came in for this step of the plan. He was not involved in any of the other stuff.
Itona had been faking being Koro-sensei.
Yeah.
Because he can turn one of his tentacles into looking like a sensei head.
Yep. Because why not? It makes total sense.
So Shiro continued...
Well, first of all, the guy lets loose kind of a important secret, I guess, that the orders for doing this came from someone up higher than Kurosuma.
Yeah, for helping Shiro. So
yeah.
Someone above Kurosuma is like going behind his back and dealing with shady people.
So Shiro starts explaining his plan of like...
Yeah, explains the entire trap.
Basically, the gist is, I stole this idea from you, the cloth is anti-sensei material, and Itona has anti-sensei material blades, but they're weaker because they had to be mixed with ceramics.
So that they could actually, you know, stay on there.
Yeah.
But now that he's like above Koro-sensei and has him cornered, that there's not much Koro-sensei can do about it.
Yeah, there's no way he can get out of here.
Except that Koro-sensei has learned all of Itona's tricks.
And also has, you know, learned from his own students and that sort of stuff, too.
He just effortlessly dodges all of Itona's attacks.
And, like, catches his tentacles and does a Kagebushin.
He congratulates Itona.
And he needs to get rid of the cage, so he kind of, you know, compresses only a part of himself as opposed to the whole thing.
Well, I really do like that one line he has of even Sensei learns.
Yeah, he congratulates Itona and says that if this is the first time they'd fought, he would have killed him.
Yeah.
But after three times, he knows all of Itona's tricks.
Yeah.
So yeah, he makes a Kamehameha blast and just takes off the
anti-sensei tent. Yeah.
Yeah, blowing Itona away.
And blowing it out of the windows and... Itona's having somewhat of a crisis of conscience at the moment.
Also, disappointedly, there is no idol, like, factory or wherever they're at. Yeah. So
Koro-sensei says to Shiro that to just leave Itona there and walk away, and Girl Nagisa pipes up that she's actually a bee.
And she has a burning A above her, so she's lying.
I didn't notice that either. I didn't notice last week's... when she had that zero above her.
That's why I looked this week. It's like, oh, there's an A. Okay.
Good sight gags.
Yeah.
And
so Shiro
something is messed up with Itona's brain.
And yep. Shiro gets a very sinister look for someone that can only be emotive with his eyes.
And Shiro starts telling...
tentacles eat his brain?
Yeah. It seems like they're eating away at his persons. Like...
So my guess is Itona is not... He was not made. He was a kid that they put tentacles into.
Yeah, okay. That's what you meant by made. I was going to say, of course he was made. They just, like, shoved him into someone that...
Yeah, like he wasn't born in a tube.
He's, let's say, an artificial Koro-sensei is a good way to put it.
Because I think, like, the tentacles are the actual Koro-sensei, or, you know, the actual thing.
Itona's just some orphan that they grab.
Like, he's the vessel.
Like a parasite into the kid.
Yeah. Because if they're, like, eating away at him, then... I don't think that's intentional.
So Shiro says that Itona's met his limit and that people are getting tired of paying for his treatment when he's not showing results. So he tells Itona goodbye and says, you're on your own, and leaves.
And from the sounds of things, it says maintaining the tentacles, you know, requires a ton of energy, so I'm wondering if the tentacles are going to, like, melt or burn away.
Yeah.
And also, Koro-sensei, or not Koro-sensei, Shiro wants to go to the next model.
Yeah.
So there's something beyond Etona that they've planned.
He's just cold-heartedly casting Etona aside. He has no attachment to him.
Because he's the anti-Koro-sensei.
Yeah.
He does what Koro-sensei would never do.
And then he points out, but Koro-sensei is only capable of, you know, destroying everything. He's threatening to destroy the Earth. And, you know, he is trying to do anything he can to prevent that. It doesn't matter what the sacrifice is, the ends justify the means.
So, with him, it sounds personal.
Yeah.
Like, this is not about stopping Koro-sensei. It's not about being paid.
It's not about saving the world, either. He just wants to kill Koro-sensei.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna guess that it's like, he is, I don't know, the boyfriend or the husband or of that one teacher from the first chapter.
Yeah, who? I still think he's going to be a Koro-sensei monster.
Yeah.
That we haven't seen him. So
the fact that he wears gloves pretty much convinces me of it.
Etona breaks the moment by freaking the hell out and screaming and running off.
Well, at first he attacks, what was his name?
Terasaka.
Terasaka. Yeah.
He's gone into berserk mode.
And Koro-sensei blocks it and Etona freaks out and runs away.
Yeah.
So I assume that next chapter, everyone's going to track him down.
They're going to
they're going to parkour their way to him.
Yeah.
They have to stop him before he hurts a bunch of other people.
So the way I see this ending is they're going to basically domesticate Etona, and he'll probably lose his tentacles and just become another member of the class.
I think that one of the things that's going to happen next chapter is that the other students are going to have to use like anti-sensei knives or something like that to cut off his tentacles.
Yeah. Like cut it out of him. Thing.
That will stop the pain.
Yeah. And then he'll be integrated into the class.
Yeah.
Because I think there is still an empty seat in the class.
I mean, that is Etona's seat. Like, he's still technically in the class.
Yeah. So this is the end of his arc as a villain and the start of him being part of the class.
I'm guessing he's going to answer some questions about Shiro.
Yeah. Or if he even remembers any of that. We haven't really got too much dialogue out of him. Anything he said has always been, like, a single-minded, I'm gonna kill Koro-sensei.
Well, he said this time that, like, I should have won, I should have become stronger.
Yeah.
So he has some issues.
And he has some personal pride, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah. He's not, like, a complete beast.
I'm excited for him to join the class, because he's gonna add a really good dynamic.
Yeah. Like, the last person who joined was Ritsu, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They both came in at the same time.
Yeah, because they were the two assassins. Yeah, this is a good chapter. Even when Assassination Classroom goes battle manga, it does it exceptionally well.
I bet they wish they didn't destroy those Koro-sensei panels now. The anti-Koro-sensei stuff.
Yeah.
Might have been useful for subduing him.
Yeah, maybe.
I like how the government guy ran away.
He's left.
Like, this ain't my problem.
When do you think he left? Like, right around the time that, like, the thing exploded, he's just like, I'm out.
Yep.
Screw
this.
Once Dragon Ball Z powers started actually existing, you know.
He condensed what? Okay, I'm just going to go get a pizza. You're fine.
I do find it interesting that there is someone above him, or above Karasuma.
I bet Karasuma is not going to be real thrilled with that bit of information.
Yeah. I assume that's going to be a plot point in the future, and that's going to be whoever hires. Yeah, I mean, whoever hires the Death God guy is going to be...
I think once things cool down, we're going to get like an end-of-chapter thing of Karasuma and Koro-sensei in the teacher's lounge, and Koro-sensei is going to tell him about it. Because, I mean, to Karasuma, Shiro is a person that has endangered citizens' lives every single time he's made an attempt, which is unacceptable. So to have people within his organization willingly working with people like that,
I could see Karasuma hunting down Shiro. And I think that would be really cool.
I don't think that ends well for Karasuma.
Yeah, like that would be good power establishment too.
That would also be quite the twist if Karasuma is, you know, actually taken out.
Incapacitated, I mean, or worse.
We have pretty, like, they don't actually come out and made it explicit, but I feel like Karasuma has not been putting his full self into assassinating Koro-sensei. Because it seems like he would be able to, given enough time and opportunity.
Yeah, especially with whatever this newer model is.
Yeah. So maybe they want to keep him alive, or maybe they want students to do it themselves. I don't know. There's still a lot of questions in this that haven't been answered.
Yeah. I'm sure they will eventually.
Yeah. This is in no danger of, like, ending abruptly. Yeah.
No.
In Assassination Classroom, we trust.
Yep. So speaking of implicit trust...
Nisei Koi?
Yep.
Yes.
Where Chitoge and Raku are walking down the street.
It's summer. Yep. You can tell because, like, the first panel is a sun.
Yep. And Chitoge is talking
really
about, like...
used to fake dates.
They're going on a vacation, and Raku's coming, and they're going to swim and hang out and
they're
do
gonna
all
have
stuff at the beach.
They're going to have a beach episode so that Raku can fall asleep on the dock again while Onodera is confessing. Again.
Was that Chitoge? Wasn't
no,
it?
That was Onodera.
Onodera.
Oh, right. Chitoge didn't get there. She just got mad.
Yeah.
And then Raku doubles over in pain.
And dies.
And it turns out he has appendicitis. So congratulations, guys. We're in a Nisekoi bottle episode.
We're just going to hang out in this hotel or hospital room for the whole chapter.
Yep.
So, you know, he had surgery and...
Chitoge is very like, whatever, about it.
Well, she's been waiting 5 days to come see him because Raku's Yakuza gang made too much of a hubbub when the first day he was here.
Yeah,
so they banned all visitors.
Yeah,
we see that half his room is filled with flowers.
And because the beach doesn't exist when Raku isn't there, nobody else...
Yeah, that's what I found amusing, is that it fit in perfectly to the Raku theory.
In fact, if you open his hospital door and look out, there's nothing in the hallway.
I was actually trying to look out the windows to see if there was anything. Short answer, no.
So yeah, everybody bailed, because it wouldn't be the same without Raku.
So everyone marches in one by one, to see Raku.
Yes.
First is Shu.
Who asks if there's any cute nurses.
And brings him a bunch of apples.
Yeah.
And then leaves.
Just without giving him any of the apples.
Yep.
So, you know, Ki walks out into the hallway and then, you know, gives Onodera the high five so that she can, you know, have her turn to go in.
So Onodera walks in and Raku is basically like, you know, falling over himself.
Because she can't see her.
Yeah.
And then he imagines her in a nurse outfit.
And she peels him an apple.
Yeah.
And she explains that Chitoge was the one who told her to come.
Yeah.
Also, she brought some apples. These are not the same apples that she brought.
Ah. So Miyamoto sends her a message saying, I'm going to eat some noodles, so do your best on your own. And I misinterpreted the other panel, like, at first. Because it looked like she was doing, like, a fist pump, like, yeah.
No, she's freaking out. She's scared.
Yeah. So she leaves immediately because she did not want to be on her own.
Yeah.
And
so
then
Tsugumi comes in.
Yeah.
Who says Chitoge sent her. Or Chitoge's really worried, rather.
Yeah.
And also she brought apples.
Yep.
And she peels him an apple with a very threatening looking knife.
Yes, you're right. I didn't even notice that.
Like a serrated blade. So Rocket starts like, huh, I wonder why Chitoge's worried. I'm the dumbest person ever. Then Marika comes in.
Yeah. Marika's next, and
she's bringing a hanging thing of 1,000 paper cranes.
And she camped outside the hospital, and...
Yeah, like she was buying tickets for a concert. I thought that was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. And the nurses found her...
setting up a tent inside of the room.
I love the cracks in the floor where she's pounded in the stakes.
So Raku sends her out, and eventually Fu and Haru come.
And they don't
for
get
some
any,
reason.
They don't get any dialogue.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm sure they brought apples though.
Yep. And then
you
see like
a whole bunch of other guys.
All the random
from the Yakuza, because there's no other guy friends at his school.
I think those are the other boys in class.
Yeah.
One of them looks like Donkey Kong and has a banana shirt.
And then we see a table in Raku's room where people have been carving stuff out of apples for him all day. One of which is a little Raku.
One's like apple sushi.
Yeah.
So Raku's trying to get some sleep, and he starts thinking about Chitoge.
Because, you know, he needs to thank her for telling everybody to come over.
So she materializes in the only place possible, out on the ledge.
Yep. And she came to give him an apple.
She climbed up to the fourth floor, four-story window.
Just to give it to him.
Yeah.
And she starts... kind of half confessing, and then Raku gets sick again. And then Dr. Light's back.
Yeah, yay.
The one who diagnosed him with amnesia. Which I feel like he's a school or nurse or something.
He's got many jobs. He's got a lot of gambling debts to pay back. So he points out that Rock has been eating too many apples.
Dun-dun-dun.
That's how Steve Jobs died.
That's why his stomach hurts.
So throughout this chapter, I really felt like Rock was a huge jerk.
Yes?
Like, Chitoge was being so nice to him, and he's like, man, I can't wait to do Onodera.
Why would Chitoge care about me? Huh.
Yeah, like, what an asshole. What a huge asshole.
Yeah, that's always the weird part about, like, harem mangas of, like, these dudes are just inherently, like, second, like, two-timing every single girl in the series.
Yeah, like...
And incredibly self-absorbed when it comes to that.
Like, the leap of disbelief you have to make is that Raku doesn't know, but still, like, these people are still being incredibly nice. He'd have to be so socially retarded that he doesn't recognize friendship, at least. Like, he completely separates the idea of friendship from affection, which is mildly sociopathic.
Yeah, I thought that was weird that it's like, oh, she came to visit me. It's like, you're not aware of what your relationship with this girl is, are you? Because you're kind of friends, and friends visit each other in the hospital.
Yeah. Fuck Raku.
That's a good note to end on.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, Nisekoi was last because of cover.
Yeah. Yep.
And it gets more color pages next week.
Well, it gets the color pages from this week next week. Oh, wait, you mean... Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Because it's celebrating the anime. Which I'm imagining is making this guy quite a bit of bank.
I'm sure.
Oh, hey, Shokugeki gets color pages next week.
Hooray.
One Piece is absent. Oh.
And World Trigger gets color pages next week, too.
Great. What?
World Trigger.
What trigger?
That trigger thing that you hate.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I've fallen out from it. I feel I treat it in my head like I treat... No, I was going to say like I treat Bleach, but that's mean.
Well, basically you nothing it, right?
Yeah.
You ennui like, it.
It was there, and it had like 30 chapters to grab my attention, and then...
Oh man, how have we never used the joke on Weech? Like, on Weech?
Eh, it kind of sucks.
Yeah. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
Weech, yeah.
Didn't mention one of the bigger things right now is that the Raws are out, at least for the first Berserk chapter in over a year.
You guys did not remind me to talk about my One Piece thing.
Oh yeah.
We did remind you, just not in time.
So I went to see Captain America earlier this week, and the show I went to ended up being sold out, so I had to kill like 3 hours until the next one. So went to a library, and they had One Piece there. So I sat down and started reading a volume. Or they had one of like the big three-volume ones, and it was the end of the crocodile fight and the start of Jaya. And one interesting thing that I don't remember hearing mentioned a lot is after Zoro and Luffy get like the crap beat out of them and Blackbeard gives them the speech about not letting your dreams die, there's a few panels where Nami goes like, oh, that guy really knew what he was talking about. And then Zoro said, it wasn't one guy. And Luffy said, yeah, there was more of them. And then
the other way to read that is at the same time that they're in the street, the one doctor is on his horse there too, so it could also mean there's more in his crew.
Like the first thing I thought though is it's been said before that there is some reason that Blackbeard can use two devil fruits.
Yeah, the chimera thing.
Yeah. So I just thought I had not seen that brought up when those discussions were happening and was kind of surprised.
Oh, that reminds me, we had a comment last week about it was clearing up the middle school thing for us.
Yes.
It was the person said it's 3 years each, 12 to 15 for middle school, 15 to 18 for high school.
Freshman would still be in middle school, basically.
Yeah.
Then that explains the 14-year-old middle schooler.
Oh, yeah. And I guess we have a week off from Jump in a week or two.
Yeah, well, Golden Week.
For Golden Week.
Yeah, I'm not. It's probably going to be a Beelzebub retrospective, but. I can be convinced to do anything, I guess.
I feel like maybe the time for that is when the new chapter comes out in May.
Maybe. I don't know. Like, we've been putting it off for a while. I've been waiting for an off week just to, you know, give it its own week.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It might be a new romance cast. Someone suggested a mecha cast to me, and I'm not sure I just like the idea.
I'm kind of out of romance manga that I feel are appropriate to talk about on the podcast.
I don't really read any mecha stuff, so.
Well,
we bring in guests.
In romance cast fashion, it will be me very poorly trying to do a podcast, I would imagine, while you guys take the week off or something.
Yeah, we'll figure something out. Maybe we'll do something on anime video games. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll
the only mecha thing that I read is kind of a quasi-spoiler to refer to it as a mecha thing, so yeah.
Oh, you read Naruto. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Mecha Naruto. Reporting for duty.
I'll probably be off next week, too, if you guys want to go get Robin early.
All right.
Okay.
Very excited about that.
Again.
We'll remind you about the One Piece link.
Sure. Okay, well, that
was it. So, yeah. So yeah, probably feels up, I don't know. We'll see. But okay, this has been your Friday, April 11th Jumpcast. Guys, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
See you all next week.
Sorry, I was told while watching Kill la Kill that I shouldn't watch things with fan service, so I can't watch it.